Welcome to Mastering Life's Adventures, an educational podcast about tapping into your true self, the soul, your soul, the substance of your life, to discover what life's ups and downs are really about, and how to have a greater sense of purpose, peace, joy, and fulfillment. I am Dr. Judith Holder, your host, coach, psychologist, fellow seeker who enjoys diving into the connections between spirituality, psychology, wellness, and your everyday life's adventures. All preparing and polishing you like the facets of a magnificent diamond to be your best self. If you're craving more from your life, you are in the right place. Come, let's journey together and transforming what you know into who you really are. Mastering Life's Adventures begins now.
Hi, I'm back, and I just want to thank you for taking this journey with me and my podcast and looking at this whole aspect of mastering your life's adventures. And I want to thank you because it's given me an opportunity to have you as listeners and seekers to hear a different perspective about how to live life through the different lens of the soul evolution and what is important to the soul. So I just wanted to begin this podcast just to say thank you very much for listening. And I would love your feedback anytime that you would have it. So please let me know what you think about all that I've been doing for the past, I guess it's been a year and a half, roughly, doing this podcast. So it still feels new to me. It also feels like there's still a lot to learn about doing podcasts. And I find that I go in spurts, to be honest with you. I can have ideas about things. And then after a while, it dies down. And because I get involved in other activities of things that I'm doing. And then I have to percolate about some of the concepts or thoughts that are going on or rattling in my brain about what and how I can do it or what I need to say and how can I say it. And so there's a lot of percolating that goes on for me in making the episodes. Each episode, I would like it to feel as if it's unique and it's different and it adds value to your thinking and integrating your adventures into your everyday life from a soul perspective. With that being said, I'm back to talk about in this series that I'm going to be doing this year on Simple Keys to Soul Growth, I want to talk about personal responsibility as relates to unseen keys. In the last podcast, I talked about seeing keys, and I went through five different aspects about building a personal responsibility and how it relates to soul growth and evolution. And in this one, this is like a part two, I want to talk about the unseen keys that I think are important, that you can say their qualities or traits to personal responsibility, that is important to soul evolution and for the soul to continue to feel as if it's spreading its wings and able to fly and faster and have greater agility. I really believe that there are certain fundamental, call them qualities or attributes, or I'm not sure what word I would give it, but I would say that it becomes a foundation, becomes more of a foundation that you're building for your own growth and advancement and movement forward in your soul evolution. It becomes vitally important, in my opinion, to look at these qualities, to talk about some of the unseen keys. These are not all the keys, but there are certain ones that I want to talk about today. And I may talk about some others as we move through the year. I will definitely, as it relates to keys to soul growth. So I will continue to do that. But as it relates to personal responsibility, I want to get into it today and see if it leads to maybe something more down the road. But when you think about this, most people don't see what is going on inside themselves. They look out externally to themselves and what's going on. And I guess I wouldn't say they don't see it. They may experience it, they may feel it, but they may minimize what's going on internally and what it means to have personal responsibility for oneself. That personal responsibility for oneself means that you're willing to look at your thoughts, you're willing to look at your feelings, you're willing to look at what you're ruminating about, what you're imagining, your direction that you want to move in, your reactions. You're wanting to look all of this interior territory and terrain that exists within you, because we don't realize it's just as important as the scene keys that I talked about in part one, a personal responsibility. When I talk about personal responsibility, I'm really talking about taking ownership of your thoughts and your reactions and your feelings, because in the soul's arena, it helps depend what's going on internally does have function to whether your soul, you're being keenly listening into your soul, or you have a lot of static and you're disconnected. It is a quality of attunement. And the more that we can have greater attunement, the more we can have that line, that fast track line to our higher self, our creator, the I Am Presence, the Atman, the more that we can be able to have that being lock in step with what we need to do, how we need to do it, when we need to do it, and also being listening grace to hear from spontaneously in ourselves that, oh no, I don't need to do it that way. I can do it this way. Because that was just an internally impulse that gave to you that sense of, oh, I need to do it this way. And I'm going to talk about impulse in a minute too, as one of those qualities that we can be able to have for ourselves. What I wanted you to do is I'm going to talk about these qualities of the unseen, of personal responsibility. And I want you to think about where you are on the Richter scale. And that Richter scale can be, you know, 1 or 0 to not there at all, or 10. Yes, gold star, I'm there. And I think I'm doing that very well. But there's always a willingness to continue to grow and to continue to advance in yourself and in the awareness of your interior design and how you're making that better and better and strengthening it so that it becomes, ultimately, you just become a better person and a better husband or wife or a better citizen of your particular country. You know, you're just enjoying who you are because you have less static and you're taking that personal responsibility for yourself. So let's get into them. I'm going to talk about 3 today. The first one I wanted to talk about was honesty with self. And when I talk about this honesty with self, it is really a perspective thinking. It's a perspective taken that you have to look at yourself and say, am I honest with myself when I'm looking at the world and things are happening to me at work or at home or in your relationships with other individuals? Can I be really straightforward? And how honest am I with what I think and how I express it? But the unseen aspect here is that only you know how honest you're being. Yes, it may show up in your behaviors, but it first showed up in your thoughts and your feelings, and you're wrestling maybe with some things that may be going on within yourself. There can be some complexity what goes on, but I want you to think about, how am I being honest? How am I seeing things as they are, or am I seeing things through a false lens? And am I willing to go a little bit deeper and dig deeper into looking at how I'm expressing a particular thought or idea? Now, the 3 that I'm going to be talking about is this honesty to self, and they all tie in together, and the courage that is needed, and then also the control of impulses that are important on this canopy or under this canopy of expressing greater responsibility, personal responsibility. So getting back to the honesty of self, you may hear, for example, someone saying something about you and your relationship that you had with someone, and you know what they're saying. First of all, that's none of their business, you probably would say, but people talk. And so it may be at the water cooler at work, or it may be in a social gathering that you're attending. One of the things you have to be aware of or be attuned to is sometimes what people are talking about, even though we're getting angry or annoyed about it, or we feel that it's none of their business, but what they may be saying may have truth to it. Are we getting angry at the fact that it's out there? Or maybe we need to switch it to the point of saying, I don't need to get angry about this, and I don't need to react to it. I'm going to own up to my component that I played in that particular relationship or that particular situation that happened. And I'm not going to get angry or upset about the gossip that goes on because I don't need to be involved in that. I don't need to be involved in that. But what I do need to be honest myself and look at what my contribution to the relationship, if it broke up, or to the situation that happened to you at work or at home, and that you can say to yourself, I'm willing to look at this and see what my role was and be able to make a course correction when I need to. What happens is we can move into justifying our actions and our behaviors. But what I'm saying is we're taking personal responsibility. We look inside ourselves and we look at the landscape inside ourselves and what we contributed to the situation. And there's sometimes truly there are situations that we have not contributed to. But with those situations that we have made a contribution to why things turned out the way they did, we're looking at how we could do it differently, how we can improve ourselves, how we take the first responsibility of those things that we have control over, and then let go of the rest. We apologize when we need to apologize. So we're taking that internal processing, the unseen things that we're doing and looking in, at ourselves, and now we're moving it into action externally by saying, I could have done that differently, or I could have said that differently, or please forgive me. So that we are always building this quality of integrity. We're always building this quality of integrity internally and externally with ourselves. When we're not doing that, and we want to justify our behavior, and we are finding that we have a lot of ruminating thoughts and feelings and reactions that are taking place and going on within ourselves, and we are having this dialogue that's creating a lot of static energy for ourselves and our inner self, and more specifically our soul. And our soul is feeling agitated too. And we cannot, and I've said this time and time again, and I'm going to continue to say it because it is true. Where there is static, you can't hear God. You can't hear your soul. You can't hear your intuition. Where there is harmony and honesty in ourselves, we invite God in. We invite our soul to help us and guide us and support us through the situation that we may find ourselves in. So sometimes it means we need to practice being truthful. That's the quality of honesty. Being truthful and asking it to be revealed to you if you're not quite sure what your piece of this is. You ask your higher self. You ask your God self, your I Am presence. You ask your soul, what is it that I need to see here? And what is it that is going to be helpful for me to correct? This is the internal, unseen work that you're doing in order to be a better person, in order to feel as if you're not willing to deceive yourself. You're not willing to go that everyone said, no, you didn't do anything wrong, but you know in the heart of hearts of yourself, you could have done something different there. But because everyone else is saying, oh, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. That person went overboard. It may be true that they went overboard in their expression or whatever it may be. But it also may be you contributed to some of it. And so you're not trying to be critical, so critical of yourself. You're just trying to be honest with yourself and not deceive. Because when we get into deception of ourselves and want to believe what other people are telling us, when we know truly there is a piece of this that we played in what took place. When we get into that deception, it is a slippery slope where you can convince yourself and convince others, but the reality is you're deceiving yourself. And therefore, if you're deceiving yourself, you're not taking personal responsibility over your component or over your part or over your element that was played in that particular situation or in that communication that happened with your significant others or in your interactions with your children, that you know you didn't need to scream, rant, and rave, be angry. You need to have a more centeredness to yourself but because of the fatigue of the day and the work and everything else going on, you are off. Okay. You know, we can say, I was off there. Please forgive me. You know, make the course correction and keep on moving. That's personal responsibility that you're taking for yourself. Because if we're walking a spiritual path, it's important for us to have this truthfulness to ourselves so that we know that God then can come in and help, because God knows truth. He does not know deception. He can see it, and he's not going to have any part of it. And so we don't want to be disconnected from our Lord. We don't want to be disconnected from God. We don't want to be disconnected from Jesus, who's trying to guide us and help us and our soul source. Because the path of the soul is to reunite with that mediator, which is Jesus Christ, which is also then we have a doorway to our higher self, which I call the I Am Presence, the Atman, the Creator, whatever word that you want to use. It does then require this next component, that as we're on the path of being truthful and honest with ourselves, then the next unseen key would be courage. Courage to see things as they are, and then being able to act and interact accordingly. When we think about courage as personal responsibility, it does really require us to step over our fears. It does require this personal responsibility blending to be stalwart of what, getting back to that word, is true, and be able to speak the truth. Yes, we can be diplomatic in how we speak the truth, but we're willing to speak the truth, even in the midst of other people not wanting to hear what that is in the situation or your observations about the situation. The other aspect is when you look about making decisions, for example, instead of doing the right thing, because it feels uncomfortable, getting back to that discomfort that we may feel, and we need to be able to step over that and say, if this is the right thing for me to do or say or be, and be able to act accordingly, that it does take, again, this bravery or even tenacity to do what's right. But what happens many times is, especially people who are people pleasers, that they want to please other individuals. So they end up not taking consideration what is really the truth of the matter, but instead they're taking consideration of, will I be liked? Will I have approval? Will I be accepted? And so they make the decisions based upon that. And that's another slippery slope to be on, because it now means that you can compromise your values and what is most important to you as you're walking a spiritual path. And your soul feels compromised as well. And because we don't want to ruffle the feathers, I guess you can say, you have this internal struggle that's going on between what others want me to do versus what I know I need to do. In that compromising of your values, there are three aspects that you need to consider. The first, which I'll call A, is the courage to challenge your narrative. That you need to move past some people-pleasing, and you have to look at, what's the story I'm telling myself in my head, my narrative that I'm telling myself? Is that something that is a narrative that is based upon wanting other people to like me? Or is it based upon the narrative of what is what I see with the information that I have, with the data that I have, to be the most helpful thing for me to do in the situation, regardless of whether people are going to like it or not like it? That is becomes really important when we can be able to challenge that narrative, because it allows us to then not deceive ourselves and to be able to say, I know I'm doing this because I want people to think highly of me. Or I'm doing it because I want to be the in crowd. I don't want to be the out crowd. But the decision that you're trying to make is an important decision to the greater good, maybe of that particular work group or into your relationship or, you know, with your child and what their child's needs are. And so we have to be willing, if we're taking personal responsibility, is know that the popular vote is not always the right vote for us to make. We have to have a point of having some quietness and stillness with ourselves and being able to just settle into, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would my soul do in this situation? How can I ask, God, show me, guide me, help me to see what is the best thing for me to do in this situation? Because I'm moving past my stories or the narratives that I'm telling myself. And I'm moving into wanting to see the truth in the matter. You see a common theme coming up? Truth becomes really important as it comes to walking a spiritual path and taking personal responsibility. The other aspect that you want to be aware of is the curse of persevering. Persevering. So the courage of persevering in the midst of setbacks, disappointments, failures, is really a quality of having a deep determination to stay the course. That life is going to be filled with ups and downs, sideways. It's going to go many different ways. It's just a part of life. But you're not allowing those disappointments or those failures to move you into giving up on your goals and objectives that you're trying to achieve. It means you need to just pause. You need to look in a different way. You need to ask for guidance to your higher self to give you a greater sense of what you're learning and learn from that and then go to the next level. We're going to have to persevere through certain situations and not succumb to resignation, but move into learning, growing, and having the guts to try and try again. Your soul is growing from that experience. Your soul wants to grow. So the ups, the downs, the sideways, the back ways, all the ways in which the soul is learning more and more about what it takes to keep focus on our goal, which is to unite with our inner higher self, the I Am Presence, the Atman, the Christ within you. That is the ultimate goal. And all these experiences are trying to teach us there are two paths. One is falling out of warp, which is getting angry, frustrated, annoyed with ourselves. And the other is being willing to move higher, to grow from the experience and stay in attunement with your inner self. And I'm not saying, yes, but we're human, so we will have our disappointments, but you don't stay there, is what I'm saying. You don't stay there. You keep on moving with your what's happening in your life. You have support around you. You ask for support from other individuals as well. So, and part of this courage, so we're talking about the challenges with the narrative of the story and being able to kind of be clear about that narrative and what is you're telling yourself. And perseverance is the other quality. And the last quality under this canopy of courage, as we're talking about personal responsibility and the unseen inner workings that are going on, is the, how would I label it? I guess I would label it as the courage to learn and grow and having the guts to try to do it again and again and again till you get better and better and better at it. So you see the perseverance and also the learning become hand in glove and you're walking a spiritual path. But that courage of learning, I would say also comes with the courage of your heart, having an open heart. And as we have an open heart to learning, and I would say that's really the third component, is the courage of having an open heart. In the midst of your learnings, in the midst of you persevering through different things, you're not shutting down your heart, which is so very easy to do. I understand that very much so. I had a significant loss in my life that recently happened to me. It felt really painful, and I've been going through the grieving process from that loss. But We don't want to shut down our heart. We want to invite God, the Holy Spirit, to help our heart, to heal our heart, to move through the experiences that we're going through. God didn't say you're not going to have hardships and ups and downs, but he did say he will always be with you. He's always with us, trying to guide us and help us and move us along if we invite him into our life and into our spaces of our being. So think about that, because when we have an open heart and other people can help us through a situation of grief or loss or having to, even if it's at work, you're losing your job, or even as at home, you're having health issues with your children, whatever that may be, how can we always tie into this awareness that God can help us? We take the responsibilities over things we need to take responsibilities over. We take the responsibility of trying to keep an open heart that other people can't see that we're trying to do, but we're doing it because those are the unseen elements of things. Then we are inviting and walking a spiritual path, a soul path, that God is helping us to do all these things. God is guiding us, and we ask for the guidance through all these things. Courage is not something that is always seen. You know, it's what I'm saying, I guess. And so these three aspects that I've been talking about in terms of the challenging the narrative and the perseverance and the striving to have an open heart and learning from those things that you're having experiences around. You know, these are some of the essential ingredients that helps to advance the soul. And certainly we can talk more about this if you have an interest in it. But the last thing I wanted to get to was because of just how things are kind of evolving here, and I want to get to make sure we talk about, is controlling our impulses. It's the last thing I want to briefly talk about, because I can talk about it in an episode. But impulses, controlling impulses is on a continuum. And the continuum is from mild impulses to severe impulsivity. And I'm not talking about the severe impulsivities. There are mental health professionals that can help with those impulsivities, regardless whether you have ADHD or you're having some form of intermittent explosive issues going on. There's just a disorder. There are those things that do need professional support and help. But I'm talking about in our time together, it's more on the lower end of things in terms of the mild to maybe a little bit more moderate impulse issues that may be happening that you know that you can have some more manageability and control over. You can be able to learn how to get the disciplined with that. And people don't necessarily see our impulses. We experience our impulses first before people actually see it through actions or behaviors that we engage in. When we're talking about this, these impulses is one of the things that I talked about in part one is consistency. We need to build a regime of consistency around certain things so that we have the discipline and that we have the energy flowing in a particular way. So it becomes a buffer to us having these strong impulses that things just come out of our mouths. So we just impulsively do something. We're able to, because of that history of having some discipline in that, that doesn't happen that way. Because one of the things we've been practicing, and you can go back to and listen to some of my episodes about meditation, we've been practicing is mindfulness. Mindfulness becomes really helpful, you know, in these situations because you observe things as they are, but it doesn't mean that you have to act on that particular impulse. And that's one of the things we're always, each one of us, I don't care where you are in the continuum, it could be mild or the mild, we're still working on how to understand our impulses, why they're arising. There are desires, there are urges that are arising within us. What are they? Look at them for what they are, and then making a choice about what you intentionally and consciously want to do about that particular impulse, that trigger that's happening within us. Knowing that is at the bottom of this impulse is desires, something that we want, or something that people have done, something that we feel as if they're going to take it away from us, so we have a fear that's taken place, or something that we feel that the person has done a sense of injustice, and so we automatically we react, and we feel we need to do something. But for those walking a spiritual path, It is each of our responsibilities to manage our emotions and our desires. It is our responsibility to know how they show up in our behaviors and then make some choices about what types of course corrections that we want to take in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our behaviors, and also in our memory. How are we remembering things? We can remember things in a very negative light, or we can change that and say, what was the good in this situation? That's the pieces I want to remember. And I want to know why I'm triggered so much by this particular thing that the person did to me at work or at home or with family members or whatever. Why is it triggering such a strong reaction in me? Instead of acting upon that, you want to just breathe in, breathe out, and just say, no, I'm not acting that way. And instead, this is where the interior work takes place. You're now being able to decipher within yourself, what's happening, what's occurring within me. Why is this pushing this button within me? And how do I need to put a little bit more Teflon on that button so it's not being triggered, it's not being activated? And that sometimes helps with a coach or a mental health professional that can be able to support you and help you in that way. That's all very good. Usually when we have these strong impulses, we're not realizing it comes out in the form of lying about things or because we really want it. So we kind of fabricate a story about how to get it, you know, and try to get it. Or we're finding that anger is happening for ourselves or outbursts or overeating. Realize these are all impulses that are taking place, and we have to be able to be the ones to figure out how to bring some control, or what I like to call is mastery, over those impulses. That's on the path of taking personal responsibility. We're responsible for our actions. We're responsible for our reactions. We're responsible for how we think, how we feel. Why not just kind of embrace it and take it and work on it just to be better and better? That allows you to have a greater attunement with your soul. And what's so important to the soul is that it's not feeling as if you're here, you're there, you're everywhere. It's like buckshot. You're all over the place. And you know, you're not looking at how to self-regulate. How to pause, reflect, and decide whether you want to act. And is it in alignment with your goals and objectives that you're trying to achieve as you're trying to be your best self? That does require being aware and observing your triggers and who types of people trigger you, what types of situations or circumstances may trigger you. Being aware of what types of coping skills and strategies you want to use to be able to help to have that internal self be calm, be centered, be balanced. This is the internal work you're doing as you're taking personal responsibility. This last piece I'll talk about is this emotional intelligence. You hear a lot about that, and that's a buzzword, emotional intelligence, but it does relate to the self-regulation that we have to all be engaged in, a self-awareness. We got to be aware of how we're thinking, how we're feeling, and how that manifests in terms of actions, but also then regulate it through our breath, and through our mantras, and through our reading of scripture, through our surrender to certain things that are going on in our worlds, to prayer, as I said earlier. So there's different things that we can do to help us to move ourselves along on our spiritual path for those who want to be their best self through soul evolution. The soul, when it feels you're taking this personal responsibility of the unseen keys that I've just finished talking about, and what I talked about in part one about the seen keys, then this all comes together for us, for the soul to have the support to know that we are doing our part as our soul is trying to continue to evolve and grow and give us through our intuition and through inviting the Christ-like qualities into our life that we find that we're in sync with what we need to do, how we need to do it, and when we need to do it. Something to think about. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining me for this episode on Mastering Life's Adventures, being your best self through soul evolution. If you have enjoyed what you've heard today, I would be delighted if you would share this episode with others, leave a thumbs up, and subscribe to my Mastering Life's Adventures podcast. Look forward to your joining the next episode. Please leave any comments or suggestions you might have below. Bye for now.